بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله والحمد حقه كما يستحقه حمدا كثيرا. وأعوذ به من شر نفسي، إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيدنا الممجد، بشيرنا المصدق، نذيرنا المعيد، المصطفى الأمجد، محمود الأحمد، الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم وهو أحسن القائلين وأصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Enlighten your souls and the atmosphere with salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected elders of the community, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The religion of Islam, the complete and the comprehensive constitution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted for mankind to achieve perfection and prosperity in this world and akhirah, not only caters and not only teaches how one can achieve prosperity and reward on the day of judgment, but also looks after the affairs of an individual in all aspects of his or her life. And this is one of the beauties of Islam, that this religion does not only tell us that if you do good and you worship Allah and you're obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will attain Jannah. But at the same time, you will live a very prosperous, happy, joyful life, as well as being victorious on the day of judgment. And when we were speaking about the importance of remembering death, when Islam emphasizes that a human being or a mu'min should be in constant remembrance of their fate, we do not mean that an individual neglects their dunya or confines him or herself to a cave whereby they only work for their akhirah. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in a beautiful hadith which one of the Christians in Lebanon says, every time I read this hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, I admire his greatness and I find that it is difficult not to admire or follow such a great man. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, work for this dunya as if you live forever, and work for akhirah as if you will die tomorrow. This is the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have given you this dunya. Look after your affairs. Look after the affairs of your family, your community, at every degree in your life. You need to live respectfully. However, do not make this dunya your prime concern. For you are in this dunya for a short period of time. An example that can be given of this dunya is when we travel on the highway. There are, in the middle of the highway, rest areas. We stop to have some food. We stop to have relaxation. And this area that is considered to be the rest areas, is only temporary. For we have a journey to undertake. And dunya is exactly the same. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I have created you to undertake this journey towards me. Note and be aware that dunya is a temporary place of abode and the akhirah is forever. The akhirah is for eternity. That is why Amir al-Mu'mineen was walking one day and he saw people busy reconstructing and building their house, spending hours and hours to make sure that their house looked respectable and a joyful place to live in. And then he says, Ajibtu, I am surprised for an individual who spends most of his time building a house that will soon be destroyed, whereas he is not building for the house in Akhirah that will remain forever. This is the human being. As far as Islam is concerned, we are told to remember death, because death can come to you at any time. There is a famous story that Luqman al-Hakim one day was passing through a city. He went through to the cemetery and he looked at the tombstones. Some people say you're not allowed to look at the ages or the tombstones and read who was buried there. Of course, no such thing exists. People are recommended to visit the cemetery to take lessons from the people who have passed. The Holy Prophet says, say to the people, may Allah forgive you, for surely we will be joining you soon when you visit a cemetery. He read the names and the ages of the people that were buried in that cemetery in that village, and he noticed that the ages of the people were extremely young. One died 5 years old, the other 10 years old, the other 15 years old, and the majority of the people buried in that cemetery had these ages written on their tombstones. He wondered what had happened in this city. He went and asked the people, have you had a famine? Have you had a natural disaster? Why is it that the majority of the people buried in your cemetery are youngsters? They said, you have been mistaken. What we place on the cemetery is the age in which people realized that they will soon die. So therefore they returned back to Allah and made themselves better Muslims and better worshippers of Allah. That is the age that we place in their cemetery, not their full age. And when we notice that death can come to anyone at any time, and it will not wait for you, death will not take your permission. Once it is narrated that a man died, and they took his body from Baghdad to Najaf al-Ashraf to be buried in close proximity to the holy shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen. With him there were his friends that were businessmen. They had many things to do in the day. So this old man that was responsible to bury this individual took his time. He had to dig the grave from scratch. He took his time, slowly, slowly. The people around him, the businessmen, became a bit restless. They said to him, come on, be quicker. Can't you dig the grave quicker? We have things to do. He ignored them. A few minutes, they continued their hassling and pressurizing of this individual until he threw his shovel, looked at them. What is your problem? They said, our problem is we are busy. We have so many things to do. We have transactions. He said, look around you. Hey, look around you. All of these people that are dead, none of them left this dunya when they wanted to leave this dunya. Everyone left this dunya when they were busy and wanted to do other things. None of them the permission was sought for them in order for Allah to take their souls away from them. And when it comes to death, death is a certainty. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says in the hadith that we have been discussing in the last 3 nights, that one should reflect upon his past, his future, which is the ultimate destination of every individual, and the present. When we speak about the present, we look at every aspect of our lives. And the only thing that will be of benefit to us on the day of judgment is our good actions. The amal as-salih. Nothing else comes with the human being. In fact, Alexander the Great, this man that conquered many areas around the world, when it was time for him to die, when he was dying, he was around the age of 30, narrators in history say. He said to the people, bury me, but when you bury me, leave my hands outside the grave. It's a scary scene to go past a grave and see someone being buried, but the hands is sticking out of the grave. They said, why? He said, I want people to find out that I have left this world with nothing. Absolutely nothing. all of this conquering, all of this so-called majesty, and the only thing I take with me is my shroud, nothing else. Leave the hands, look, nothing with me. And as far as we are concerned, we know that the only thing that comes with us is al-amal as-salih, the good actions. Good actions have to be complemented with iman. As far as the Quran, we recite verses in the Quran that always says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. People who believe should complement iman with good actions. Good actions themselves may not be sufficient on the day of judgment. They should be supplemented with iman. And in order to achieve iman, we need to increase our knowledge, our ma'rifah, our ilm. For the first verse that was revealed to the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Iqra, read. Emphasizing to you and I that as far as Islam is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed emphasis time and time again in Quran and Majeed about ilm and acquiring knowledge. For the Holy Prophet says, acquire knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Acquire knowledge even if it is from all the way to China. And hadith after hadith, verse after verse, asking us to acquire knowledge. And our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, classifies human beings into two, an-nasu ithnan. Alimun wa muta'allim. If you want to classify people, they come into under two categories. Either an alim, a person who is knowledgeable, or a person who is seeking knowledge. And he says anyone else outside of this category is considered to be people who are chaotic. Wasa'irun nasi hamaj. Hamaj in the Arabic language means people who are chaotic. They follow blindly. And Imam says, wal hamaju fin nar. People who are not either learned or seeking knowledge are in hellfire. This is the emphasis that is placed in Islam for seeking knowledge. For Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Only those individuals who are truly knowledgeable understand the position of Allah and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him the way He should be worshipped. When it comes to knowledge, when it comes to ilm, no religion emphasizes ilm like Islam. But we examine ourselves, we have two weighty things that the Holy Prophet of Islam says. We have the Holy Quran and the infallible progeny of the Holy Prophet of Islam, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi majma'in. And how many of us have taken a specific time to acquire knowledge of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt? For our fifth Imam says, تَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Seek knowledge. Every type of knowledge is required. We are required to be the best in every field out there today, whether medicine, engineering, astronomy. Muslims are to be the forefront runners in terms of ilm of every field. We are to be the best in every environment. However, our fifth Imam says, acquire knowledge of deen. Why? He says, whomsoever does not specify a certain amount of his week, 1 hour, 2 hour, however much he can allocate for the seeking of knowledge of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and listen to this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment shall not look at his face, neither should he purify his actions. In other words, he is one of the losers on the day of judgment. And today, brothers and sisters, we are subjected to people who come forward with ideas, with theories, with opinions about certain verses in Quran and Majeed. For example, there is a verse that says in Surah Tawbah, وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّ. And fight those polytheists, wherever you find them, kill them wherever you find them. Isn't it? Isn't it the verse that people who are terrorists today use to justify their actions when they hijack Islam? Isn't it then they come forward and bring these verses which have been taken out of context? Most people will come forward when people ask them, what about these verses in Quran? You are Muslims, you are people of the Book of Allah. Answer me! Non-Muslims will say, answer me. OBL and others will come and say that these verses in the Quran justify the killing of innocent civilians. What will you say? It is out of context. Out of which context? Does Allah say kill polytheists at all times? Which context? When? Which context? When was it revealed? What time was it revealed? What does it speak about? Where is the exact verse found? All these things, are we aware of it? Or Allah says in the Quran, do not take the Jews and the Christians to be your awliya. What do these people say? They say awliya means friends. Don't take the Christians and the Jews to be your friends. What do you say? I will go back to my Mawlana sahab. He'll tell me what it is. This is what we say. Allah says, as far as jurisprudence is concerned, faqih, go back to the ulama. Go back for ijtihad. Go back for taqleed. As far as aqeedah is concerned, tawheed, adl, nubuwwat, imamat, qiyamat, it is wajib upon you to know the answers for these questions. If you do not know the answers for these questions, who do you expect to know the answers for these questions? You say to the non-Muslims, I'll go and find out from my Mawlana, I'll go and find out from my parents. And when they are youngsters, small children will ask us about certain practices that we have, certain verses in the Quran, what do we say to them? What kind of example do we give them when we do not know the answer? And we pray day and day out for the return of the Imam. We say to Imam, O Imam, our 12th Imam, when he appears and says, هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا, if we cannot allocate 1 hour in the week to seek knowledge of the religion of Allah in terms of Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, how do we expect ourselves to be the followers of the Imam? How do you expect to say to Imam, Ya Mahdi, adrikni, I'm my Imam, I'm there for you, if we cannot sacrifice a small amount of our time for seeking knowledge. And this seeking knowledge is not confined to the minbar and listening to majalis. It is reading and reading and reading. It is utilizing the internet and books that are available in libraries to acquire and strengthen one's faith. So as far as knowledge is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has said, that it is wajib, that it is incumbent upon every individual. One of the things that we need to be aware about as far as our practices are concerned, and one of the objects, one of the misconceptions presented about the madhab of the Ahlul Bayt, is the practice of tawassul. That you and I undertake day and day out, at least once in the week when we recite dua tawassul. People who do not subscribe to the faith of the Ahlul Bayt, or to the madhab of the Ahlul Bayt, come forward with this objection. They say, surely tawassul is shirk. Why? Allah says in the Quran is shirk. Where? He says that the polytheists at the time of the Holy Prophet used to come to the Prophet of Islam and say that we consider our idols as intermediaries towards Allah, towards God. وَمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ Zulfa, we do not worship save, but they take us close to Allah. And what you do in terms of tawassul is exactly the same. And anyway, why do we need tawassul? Allah says, I am closer to you than your jugular vein. I am closer to you than your heart. Surely we can supplicate to Allah without the need to perform tawassul of others. And this is a misconception. All the time, from centuries, Ibn Taymiyyah, he sent in a very disrespectful letter to Allama Hilli, saying to him, and Allama Hilli, as we all know, a very respected, knowledgeable alim deen, and an individual whom we hold our heads high when we remember him and all of our other ulama, he sent this letter saying that you are mushrikeen because of several practices, and one of them is tawassul. What do we say? How do we answer? In the next few minutes, I wish to bring evidence from the book of Allah, from the hadith of the Holy Prophet, from the books of our brothers and sisters, and from utilizing our intellect and aql to understand that tawassul is absolutely permissible, and it's a legitimate means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do in our lifetime. First of all, what is the difference between tawassul and shafa'at? Tawassul is when you and I seek an approach, seek a means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. And shafa'at is intercession of those individuals of awliya'ullah, the prophets and the imams and the ulama, so that they will intercede for us on the day of judgment. So one is for dunya and the other is for akhirah. What does tawassul mean? Tawassul comes from the Arabic word al-wasila. Wasila means a means of connection in order to achieve a certain goal or objective. And if we examine this dunya, if we examine everything in our lives, we find that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the universe, has created us, mankind, has created absolutely everything is through wasila. Our sixth imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He says in the narrated hadith, that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in this world, is through asbab. Asbab meaning cause and effect. For example, when He created you and I, it could have been easy for Allah to create, very easy. He is the master of the universe. Everything can be accomplished when He says, kun fayakun. Everything can be accomplished for a split second. It would have been easy for Allah to create us for less than a split second. Why 9 months? Why should we go through for 9 months in the womb of our mothers? Why is it that He created the heavens and the earth over 6 days? Or six set of period of time, ayyam, as the Quran mentions. Why is it that, for example, we find everything in this universe, everything that we see in front of our own eyes, go through the system of sababiyya, cause and effect? Why is it that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His message through prophets? He could have easily sent the message of Islam and religion to the heart of every individual, to the heart of every one of us. Yes? Tell me, why did He send the message of Islam through the Holy Prophet of Islam? Or He says, Allah yatawaffa al-anfus, or He says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وَكِّلَ بِكُمْ. The angel of death takes your soul away when it comes to the time of death. Why are there angels anyway? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need angels? All of these questions, the simple answer is, it is in the ultimate wisdom of Allah that He has created this system that things are done through means. Things are achieved in this dunya through the system of cause and effect, number one. Number two, this is through the usage of the aql. Number two, we examine our lives today. We are all in need of other people. We cannot live alone, can we? We need the physician. If we are ill, we go to the physician. We need the plumber at home. If we have a problem, we call the plumber. If our car breaks down, we need a car mechanic. We need teachers. We rely on everyone. And this is a system of seeking other people's help to achieve certain objectives in our lives. Now when it comes to tawassul, it is similar. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an in chapter 5, verse number 35. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. The first and foremost thing that Allah asks us for those who are believers is to have taqwa, is to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence at all time. Then He says, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ, and find the means of approach to Him. Find a means of nearness to Him. How do we answer the misconception of our brothers and sisters when you say you're doing shirk like those individuals at the time of the Prophet? Simply, that these individuals said, وَمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We do not worship these idols except that they make us closer to Allah. They believed at that time there is a supreme God, but we cannot access this God. Therefore we worship these idols because the other God, the supreme God, is not accessible. We say no. When we perform tawassul, When we seek, when we say Ya Ali, Ya Hussein, Ya Fatima, we believe that these individuals are not independent from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are all servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these servants have a lofty high position in the eyes of Allah. They are awliyaullah. Allah has tested them. They are all sincere. They have passed the test. Therefore Allah has elevated their status, and they have sought close proximity to Allah. Therefore we seek Allah's help through them. And that is what tawassul essentially is. It is not that we worship these individuals. It is we believe, then we recite in the Quran, that when Allah speaks about the Holy Prophet, says that Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. The first and foremost position given to the Holy Prophet of Islam is the position of ubudiyyah, servitude. That the Holy Prophet of Islam is first of all a servant of Allah before he is a prophet of Allah. And this is what we believe about the Holy Prophet of Islam and the glorious infallible progeny of him, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. Let us examine further verses from the Quran that give legitimacy to the practice of tawassul. Because brothers and sisters, tonight is the night of tawassul. The night of Chahallum and Arba'een, the night of Ziyarah. People around the world are congregating in Sham, in Karbala, in places around the world today. They are seeking the tawassul of our third Imam and the Ahlul Bayt. They are all returning back and crying and lamenting and mourning. Tonight is the night of tawassul, and we want to leave tonight having understood what we say on the Tuesday nights, having understood this important concept in Shia ideology, and how do we defend it when subjected to these misconceptions. What verses in the Quran give this practice legitimacy? We find, for example, that in the Quran, in Surah chapter 4, verse number 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the Muslims at the time of the Prophet and all the times came to the Prophet and seek tawassul through him. وَإِذْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ. There are people who sin, who transgressed against themselves. They come to you, O Messenger, and they seek istighfar of Allah. What do they do? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Holy Prophet of Islam does istighfar for these people. لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. They will find Allah surely forgiving and merciful. You find the books of tafsir, all of them say this, majority of them say this, that this verse, some people say that this verse speaks about the life of the Holy Prophet. This verse in chapter 4, verse number 64, says that people came to the Prophet and seeked Prophet's nearness to Allah for istighfar. Some people come forward and say, well, that was at the time of the Prophet, when the Prophet is not alive. This verse cannot be applied. The problem is they have not understood this verse completely and fully. There is nowhere in this verse, and it is a fact established through many chapters and pages in tafsir books, nowhere in the verse that the verse stipulates that this action only happens at the time of the life of the Holy Prophet of Islam. It is open at all times. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Do not think that the people who have been slain in the way of Allah to be dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive with their Lord, seeking their sustenance. And of course, the best and the most supreme creation of Allah is the Holy Prophet of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Prophet of Allah is alive. Why? Because every single Muslim, every day, five times a day, performs his salah. And what does he say in salah? As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we know in Islam that when someone says as-salamu alayka, the answering of the salam is wajib. How about the Holy Prophet? The way we have narrations that every individual, when they say as-salamu alayka ayyuha al-nabi, the Holy Prophet of Islam answers them back and says wa alayka as-salam. He is alive. The Holy Prophet is alive. We recite in the ziyarat of the Emma, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ تَسْمَعُ كَلَامِي. I am witnessing that you, O Imam, are hearing my words. وَتَرُدَّ جَوَابِي. And you are the one who will answer me. So therefore, this verse in the Quran is absolutely mutlaq, meaning it is completely open for the lifetime and after the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And we look at the Quran, we look at hadith, and we find stories in the books of history whereby individuals, these stories have been narrated by books in the Shia school of thought and other schools of thought, whereby several individuals have come forward with tawassul and have shown how this act is highly recommended. For we have the story of Abu Talib alayhi salam, the uncle of the Holy Prophet of Islam and the father of Amir al-Mu'mineen. One day in the drought that had occurred in the holy city of Mecca, when the Holy Prophet of Islam was young, narrators in history say that they came to Abu Talib because they knew the position of Abu Talib as far as the religion of Allah is concerned. Even non-mushriks and kafirs at that time knew who Abu Talib is, and today people come forward and say Abu Talib died and he wasn't a Muslim. Even at that time people came to Abu Talib and said, Abu Talib, you have a special position with, and as far as awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, pray to Allah that we get rain. Abu Talib did what? He took the Holy Prophet. He was a few years old. He took him, he carried him on his shoulders, stood in front of the Kaaba, and he said to the Prophet, Ya Ibn Akhi, lift your hands to the sky. And then he lifted his hands to the sky, and Abu Talib said, Allahumma bihaqqi hadha antar alayna min as-sama. Oh Allah, I ask you for the sacredness, for the sake of this individual, give us rain from the sky. All the narrators in history say, as soon as that dua was completed, rain fell on the city of Mecca, so much so that it was flooded, and they filled for the city out of the flooding. This was Abu Talib, and this was the position of the Holy Prophet of Islam. We find in the Quran other verses that speak about tawassul. And most of the prophets, people came to the prophets. For example, Prophet Isa. The Hawariyun came to Isa, Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa alayhi salam, and said to him, Ya Nabi Allah, we wish to taste food from Jannah. And he said to them, do you not believe? They said, no. We want to strengthen our iman, our faith in Allah. He said, I will ask Allah, but if after this you disbelieve, Allah will punish you severely. And he asked Allah, Allahumma Rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama' takunu lana 'eeda. The only place in the Quran where the word 'eed is mentioned is in this particular verse in Surah Ma'idah. And we have Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. After his sons did what they did to Prophet Yusuf, they came to Yaqub, they knew his position, and they said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. They said to Yaqub, oh my father, seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sins. They knew the position of Prophet Ya'qub. And Musa, Bani Israel, several instances in the Quran. I give you the references for future use. Bani Israel in Surah Baqarah, verse number 65, they came and asked Musa for water, for rain. وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. Musa seeked istisqa, rain, for his community. And we told him, hit using your asa, your cane, your stick, hit the rock, and it shall flow with water. Therefore we find example after example in the Quran where the prophets of Allah were approached by people of their communities, knowing that they had a lofty position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come to the hadiths, when we examine the hadiths available in all schools of thought, we are left in no illusion, and we are certain about the permissibility of the practice of tawassul. For we know from the books of our brothers, such as Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, the famous Mufassir of the Holy Quran in his book Ad-Durr al-Manthur says, do you know who the first person who did tawassul was? Was Prophet Adam. When he did tark awla, Prophet Adam, when he ate from the forbidden tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him how to seek forgiveness and tawbah. Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti, he's a Sunni scholar. He says in his book Ad-Durr al-Manthur that Prophet Adam said to Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Muhammadin wa Aliyin wa Fatimata wal Hasan wal Husayn to forgive me my sins. This is the position of the Ahlul Bayt, and the first individual, he saw their names, and some narrations saw, he saw their light and the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was taught how to seek forgiveness and tawbah through the Ahlul Ashab al-Kisa. These are individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed his favors and his mercy and ni'mah, and he has placed them as source of guidance for us and for mankind. You ask me how? I tell you, refer to the Quran. We recite this verse every day, at least 10 times. We recite this verse, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, we want this صراط المستقيم. What is this صراط المستقيم? What is this right path that Allah wants us to take? And we recite day and day out in Surah Al-Fatiha, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. It is the path of those of whom you have bestowed with ni'mat, with your favors and blessings. What is this ni'mat? Allah says in another verse in the Quran, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Speak to people about the ni'mah of Allah, about the blessing of Allah. Spread this ni'mah, spread this blessing. What is the ni'mah? Our sixth Imam told Abu Hanifa, what does Allah mean when he says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. What does Allah mean, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Abu Hanifa said, it is the ni'mah of life, it is the ni'mah of food, health, all this. He said, all this is ni'mah, but there is a specific ni'mah that Allah wants you to speak to people about, to engage and to spread this ni'mah to people. He said, what is it? He said, go back to the Quran and recite the verse, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. Today I have perfected your religion and I have completed my ni'mah for you. And that day was none other than the day of Ghadir, in which Amir al-Mu'mineen was placed as the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Holy Prophet of Islam. The ni'mah of Allah, according to the Quran, the best ni'mah is the Ahlul Bayt. That is صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Those, the path of those individuals. And when we come to tawassul, who should we turn to than this ni'mah of Allah that He has given us? And the majority of Muslims are neglectful of or are heedless of. We look at other hadiths found in the book of our brothers and sisters. For example, we find that the second Khalif, Umar ibn al-Khattab, when it came to tawassul, he also practiced tawassul. It is narrated that he used to say, lift his hands to the sky and say, oh Allah, we used to perform the tawassul of during the lifetime of your Holy Prophet, through your Holy Prophet. But now that he has died, we do the tawassul through his uncle Abbas. They used to come to him and say, do istisqa for us. And Umar ibn al-Khattab used to do this. And we have narration after narration. For example, listen to this narration. This is absolutely vital and a jewel to be used in discussions with others. This narration, brothers and sisters, is found in Bukhari, in Nisa'i, books of hadith of our brothers and sisters, Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi. An individual, these books that our brothers and sisters considered to be sahih, absolutely authentic. An individual who was blind came to the Prophet of Islam. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure my blindness, to give me sight. The Holy Prophet said to him, it is better for you to stay blind. If you ask me, it is better for you to stay blind. The Holy Prophet knows the inside and outside of people, knows the haqiqat of individual. This man was persistent. No, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to ask Allah to give me my sight. The Holy Prophet said to him, I will teach you about an act that you do, that if you do it, Allah will give you your sight. This is in the books of our brothers and sisters. He said, go and do wudu, perform 2 rak'at namaz, then say the following. Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka binabiyyika Muhammadin nabiyyir rahma. Oh Allah, I ask you and I seek the rahmah, or I seek your help through the Holy Prophet. Ya Muhammad, inni qad tawajjahtu ilayka, adid qad tawajjahtu bika ila rabbi fi hajati hadha litaqdiha li. Oh Muhammad, I have seek tawassul through you towards Allah so that my haja is fulfilled. Where is this familiar? Where have we heard this? Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka binabiyyika nabiyyir rahmah, in du'a'i tawassul. This is found in the books of our brothers and sisters, and they come forward and say, du'a'i tawassul is considered to be shirk. We say, look at your books. You are neglectful of your own hadith. Your own hadith say that the Holy Prophet of Islam was teaching the Muslims on how exactly to do tawassul. And what did the Holy Prophet of Islam do himself when it came to the incident of mubahala, malediction? We have an agreement between all Muslims, all scholars of faith. Ibn Kathir, Al-Fakhr al-Razi in his tafsir, all mufassirin of our brothers and sisters, they say as far as malediction and the incident of mubahala is concerned, when the Christians of Najran came forward and asked this confrontation between the Holy Prophet and them, and they wanted to go out and seek this malediction and the la'an of Allah to fall on the Kadhibin, I ask you this question, think about it. Was it not sufficient for the Holy Prophet to go alone? It is he, through just one sign, he split the qamar. He split the qamar according to the Quran. اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. With just one sign like this, it is the Holy Prophet who split the moon. Was it not sufficient for him to go for malediction in front of the Christians of Najran? Who did he take with them? An agreement between the Muslim schools of thought, all of them. He took with him, he carried with him Al-Husayn alayhi salam in his shoulder, and he held in his hands Al-Hasan, and behind him with Fatima to Zahra, Bibi Fatima, and behind her with Amir al-Mu'mineen. They walked and walked in front of the Muslims, who were all jealous, who were all waiting to see who the Holy Prophet will take. When they stood there, the Christians of Najran, they said themselves, we looked at the faces of these individuals, their faces was completely bright, and one of them said, by Allah, do not go forward with this malediction, do not go forward with this mubahala, because by Allah, I see that these individuals, if they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move and destroy these mountains, close proximity to Medina, Allah will answer. And if they ask Allah to do this, no Christian shall remain forever until the day of judgment. This was the position of the Ahlul Bayt as stipulated by those Christians. Therefore, the Holy Prophet of Islam is teaching all Muslims that as far as dua, as far as supplication, as far as tawassul is concerned, then seek the Ahlul Bayt. Because I took my Ahlul Bayt, but you should also seek the tawassul of the Ahlul Bayt. And look at, for example, the hadith of Kisa. The hadith of Kisa, what does the Holy Prophet say about his Ahlul Bayt? Is there any doubt left in our minds, as far as tawassul is concerned, that the Holy Prophet of Islam and his Ahlul Bayt are those individuals whom we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says, seek a means of approach, seek a wasila. Is there any doubt left in our mind on whom we should turn to? Allahumma inna ha'ula'i ahlu bayti wa khasati wa hamati lahmuhum lahmi wa damuhum dami yu'limuni ma yu'limuhum wa yahzununi ma yahzunuhum ana harbun liman harabahum wa silmun liman salamahum wa aduun liman aadahum wa muhibbun liman ahabbahum innahum minni wa ana minhum faj'al salawatuka wa barakatuka ورحمتك وغفرانك ورضوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. This is the position of the Ahlul Bayt. And it's very interesting actually, if you refer back and examine books of history, you'll find that the heads of the schools, jurisprudential schools of thought of our brothers and sisters, for example, Al-Shafi'i. Shafi'i was known to be a lover of the Ahlul Bayt. In fact, he himself, it is narrated that he said the following poem in Arabic about the fada'il of the Ahlul Bayt. He said, "Alun Nabiyyu Dari'ati." The Al of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, are my means. Wahum ilayhi wasilati. They are my means of wasilat. This is Shafi'i, the head of the Shafi'i school of thought. Arju bihim u'ati ghadan. Through them I seek that tomorrow biyadil yamin. That Allah on the day of judgment through them gives me the book, my sahifa, the book of actions of a'mal on my right hand through the Ahlul Bayt. This was Shafi'i. And once a scholar said, and I'm here trying to emphasize the importance of the position of the Ahlul Bayt in the eyes of Muslims, that they are so neglectful. A scholar said, I went to Saudi Arabia, and those people who preach what they do, he said to me, you are wearing the turban, therefore you are a Shia follower of the Ahlul Bayt. You do ghulu. Ghulu means exaggeration. You exaggerate the position of the family of the Holy Prophet of Islam. This alim said, I was determined to use a method, not conventional. So I turned towards him and said, how great are the companions of the Prophet? So this man noticed this answer from me, became very excited. Yes, of course, they are very great. I said to him, the companions of the Holy Prophet sacrificed their lives for Rasulullah. They were sincere. He said, indeed, indeed. He became very happy. Here I am, the follower of the Ahlul Bayt, talking about the fada'il of the companions. Then this alim said to him, I have a suggestion. He said, what is the suggestion? He said, in salah, when we recite the salah and say tashahhud, I suggest that instead of saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim, we take away the al and place in place of the al of Muhammad, the ashab of Muhammad. We say, oh Allah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ashabi Muhammad. He said, what are you saying? If we do this, our salah is not accepted. Our salah becomes batil. Then this alim al-Din looks at him and said, that is the difference between you and I. We stick to the people whom their utterance, their salah will be accepted. You are sticking to those individuals whom if you say and praise them in salah, your salah will not be accepted. You speak about the Ahlul Bayt, you praise the Ahlul Bayt in your salah. Every day, in your salah, when the Holy Prophet, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. People come forward and say, it is sufficient to send the peace and blessings upon the Holy Prophet. As stipulated in the Quran, refer back to Bukhari and all other books of school of our brothers and sisters, and you'll find that the companions came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, we know how to say salam to you, but we do not know how to say salawat upon you. The Prophet turned towards them and said, if you want to know how to say salawat upon me, then say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. This is how you should be doing salah on me, by referring to my Ahlul Bayt. And today, unfortunately, we find the majority of the Muslim Ummah, they have either neglectful of mentioning the Ahlul Bayt in their salah, or they add others such as the companions and the tabi'een and others. neglectfully or deliberately. Therefore, this is the position of tawassul. You and I, even heedlessly and throughout our lives, seek other people's help. Not that these people are themselves the creator of this help. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. But this is the system that He has placed. And it is said in the Quran, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. If I am ill, it is Allah that will cure me. It is Allah that will give me shifa. But when I go to the physician, I will know that if Allah wants shifa for me, the means is through a physician. The means is, or maybe through taking these medications. And tonight is the night of Arba'een, the night of Jahannam. And people come forward and say, you recite this ziyarah of Hussein, you recite the ziyarah of the Ahlul Bayt. And you place too much emphasis. Throughout history, people have endeavored to stop people from performing this great act, from undertaking majalis, from attending the commemoration of the shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions and his Ahlul Bayt. From the time of Al-Mutawakkil Al-Abbasi, when he made it absolutely forbidden for people to go and perform the ziyarah of Imam Hussein. He said, whomsoever goes and does the ziyarah of Hussein ibn Ali, I will first of all amputate their arms and hands. And if they do not listen, I will execute them. But the people continued to flock the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Every individual. And do you know what they said? They said in Arabic, لو قطعوا أرجلنا واليدين. If you amputate our arms and legs, we shall strive to you, O Hussein, crawling. Throughout history, people have tried to stop people from performing ziyarah of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And tonight in Karbala and in Sham, millions have congregated in the plains of Karbala and the close proximity to the shrine of Lady Zainab in order to re-emphasize their loyalty and love to Imam al-Hussein and to the Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because the Holy Prophet of Islam says, إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَةٌ فِي قُلُوبِ المؤمنين. People do not know what position Hussein has in the hearts of believers. The Holy Prophet says in this prophetic narration that for Hussein there exists a special love in the heart of believers that shall never extinguish or die on until the day of judgment. We have this special love for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Nobody can take this love away from our hearts. We will continue until the day of judgment. We will continue to remember and mourn the tragedy of Karbala. We will continue to cry for what happened on the day of Ashura and the aftermath. Last year, people marching towards Karbala in the Arba'een procession, thousands and thousands and hundreds and thousands were doing so. And reporters came and said to them, some of them were walking barefooted in Iraq. They said to them, what are you doing? Are you insane? They said, you do not understand Hussein ibn Ali. We are tonight going to perform this ziyarat and to send our condolences to Fatima al-Zahra. One of the ladies that were interviewed by one of the Associated Press reporters had just lost one of her sons in a suicide bombing. Today, this week, several suicide bombings took place in Iraq, killing hundreds of individuals, mu'mineen, followers of the Ahlul Bayt, who had no sin, committed no error, except but they wanted to go and do the ziyarah of Abdullah al-Hussein. And these wicked, evil individuals who committed these acts, they came inside the tents that these individuals were residing, and they were saying, Ya Yazid, and the individuals who were inside the tent saw this man and said, Ya Hussein, O Aba Abdullah, we'll die for you. We will die simply just to come and do the ziyarat. This woman was asked, is it not sufficient that your 11-year-old son was blown into pieces by the enemies of Allah? She said no. She came forward with her younger son, 5 years old. She said, look at this son. I have come deliberately and said, oh, Aba Abdullah, I have given my young son, 11-year-old son, for you. Here is my other son. He is willing to sacrifice his life, and I am willing to sacrifice for you, Ya Hussein. I am willing to do everything for you, Ya Hussein. And tonight is the night of Lady Zainab. Tonight is the night of the musiba of Lady Zainab. Tonight we remember the calamities that fell on this great individual, the sabr of Lady Zainab. What sabr was this? What kind of patience did she endure? What kind of calamities she was facing day and day out, even during the time when her beloved brother Imam al-Hussein was there. She had to console, she had to sit there with the family members of the companions and ask them to be patient. And when she lost her beloved brother Abbas, she lost Ali al-Akbar, she lost Qasim, she lost Asghar, then she lost Imam al-Hussein. Thereafter, the tents of the family of the Holy Prophet were set alight by the enemies of Allah. All the children, all the women folk were running from one area to another. And it was her who was trying to gather around the people, gather around the family. But when she was doing this, Shimr ibn al-Jawshan used to whip her on her back. And once she did that and she fell on the ground and became unconscious, she woke up and she saw Sakina next to her. Sakina looked at her and said, Auntie, do you have a chadir? They have taken away my veil and chadir. Do you have something I can cover myself with? Zainab said to her, my beloved daughter, your auntie has no chadir of her own, let alone the chadir to give you. And on the night of Ashura, she went to inspect the family, the daughters of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Prophet. She sat there next to the holy body of Imam al-Hussein. She looked at the bruised and battered body of Aba Abdullah. She placed her hands underneath the body. She looked at the sky and said, Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Oh Allah, this is a qurbani from us. Oh Allah, accept this qurban from us. And on the day, on the 11th day of Muharram, when the qafila were being dragged across and they were about to leave Karbala, all chained together, sat on unsaddled camels, they looked at the battered bodies of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, they looked at the bodies of Hussein and Qasim and Abbas and the companions, they wanted to say farewell. They came to Janab Zainab and they said to her that the holy head of the Imam is not moving. We are not able to carry the holy head of the Imam on the spear. She asked Imam Sajjad, what is happening? Imam Sajjad said to her, aunt, there is one of the daughters of Aba Abdullah who is missing. Go and find out where she is. Janab Zainab goes and looks and tries to find out who is missing, which daughter of Imam al-Hussein is missing, until eventually she finds her sitting there next to the body of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. But next to her was a lady fully covered in chadar. She was looking after this young child of Imam al-Hussein. She sat next to her. She said to this lady, may Allah give you tawfiq, may Allah give you ajr. You have looked after the affairs of the daughter of the Holy Prophet and Imam al-Hussein. This lady looked at Janab Zainab and said to her, may Allah give you tawfiq, give you sabr, may Allah give you condolences over the musibah. Janab Zainab said to her, who are you? You look like a woman with wisdom. Your face is bright. And this woman looked at Janab Zainab and said, Zainab, do you not recognize your mother Fatima al-Zahra? Zainab, I am your beloved mother Fatima al-Zahra. Zainab looks at her mother Fatima. Oh my mother Fatima, what have they done to us? They have killed our sons. They have mutilated their bodies. They have crushed their bodies into the hooves of the horses. Oh my mother, they have decapitated the head of Imam al-Hussein. Oh my mother, what musibat this is! What musibat waits us! She was carried, she was dragged and whipped from city to city. She was asked, what is the worst situation you faced? She said, Asham, 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 Asham. We were humiliated, we were treated like slaves, dragged across the bazaar. People were jubilant, people were happy, people threw stones at us, people abused us, and she encountered what she encountered in the courtyard of Yazid, out of abuse, and she saw Yazid poking the head of Imam al-Hussein. She saw Yazid abusing the head of the holy head of Imam al-Hussein. She endured all this, but she waited, and she was eagerly waiting to come back to Karbala, and she did so on the day of Arba'een, on the day of the 40th day after Ashura. She returned back to Karbala. Narrators say she was the first who threw a on the body on the holy grove of the Imam al-Hussein. She threw herself, and the first thing she said, my brother, I have left your amanat in Sham. Your amanat in Sham, Sakina is no longer with us, my brother. I have not none, Sakina is no longer here. My brother, where are you? What musiba, what tragedy, what calamity. She remembered the final minutes before Imam al-Hussein bid farewell to her, when Imam al-Hussein said to them, be patient. When Imam al-Hussein looked and embraced all of his daughters, she embraced Janab Zainab. He left, he mounted his horse, he was just about to go to the battlefield. He looked around, and Lady Zainab said to him, Mahlan, Mahlan, Yabna Zahra. Oh, the son of Zahra, come back please. I have one final thing to do. He dismounted from his horse, he came to Lady Zainab and said, my sister Zainab, you have shattered my heart. What is it? Tell me. I will do everything for you. Lady Zainab turned to Imam and said, my beloved brother Sayyidi, I want you to do one thing for me. He said, what do you want me to do? She said, my beloved brother, show me your neck and show me your chest. Imam showed her his neck and showed her his chest. She embraced his chest. She kissed his neck. And then she looked around to the direction of Medina, and she said, Assalamu alayki ya Ummah. Oh my mother Fatima, peace and blessings be upon you. I have fulfilled your promise. I have fulfilled what you asked me to do. Imam al-Hussein said to her, my beloved sister, tell me, you have shattered my heart. What has happened? Why did you do what you did? She said, oh brother Hussein, when my mother Fatima al-Zahra was lying in her deathbed, when her ribs were crushed, when she was in agony and pain, she told me, my daughter Zainab, on that day of Ashura, when your beloved brother is gharib, when he is alone, when he is just about to leave, kiss him in the place where he will be beheaded, and embrace him on the place where the hooves of the horses will crush his chest. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين وإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Tonight is the night of dua. Tonight is the night of supplication. Tonight is the night of tawassul. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely from our hearts. Mu'mineen are asked tonight to remember all those who are ill and suffering around the world, to remember them in their dua. Mu'mineen are asked tonight to remember those who are deceased and are requiring and are requesting our dua. Tonight, let us take our hearts to Karbala and Sham. Let us join the 5 or 6 million people that have gathered and have come, are all congregating next to the shrine of Imam al-Hussein. Let our hearts travel there. Our bodies are here, but our hearts are in Karbala. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, we ask you bihaqq al-Hussein. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sacredness, due to the sacredness of Allah Abdullah. And this night, oh Allah, Allah, enlighten our hearts. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to perform the ziyarah of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein in Karbala. Oh Allah, give shifa to all those who are ill and in need. Oh Allah, we ask you to hasten the appearance of our 12th Imam and to make us of his sincere companions and followers. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين مأتم إمام حسين.